Hi, folks. How you doing today? Welcome to Old Ass Movie Reviews. I'm Dave. That's Scott. And today we're going to do a review on My Man Godfrey. 1936, I believe. 1936.
Yes, 1936.
I am so good. Pre-code, if I'm not mistaken. And it stars one of our favorite actors of the time, William Powell, Carol Lombard, Alice Brady, who was the mom. Jesus, that woman's just a genius. Gail Patrick was the sister.
Oh, God.
Eugene Pallette.
I have seen him before.
That's the dad.
Yeah.
That guy kills me. That guy, I've seen him in other stuff around this time period, of course. And he always plays the same guy. He's always got that voice. He's always got this big rotund. He's always going to punch somebody. Jean Dixon was Molly, was the maid. Alan Mowbray was Tommy Gray. That was his friend, the guy who shows up at the worst possible time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Misha Auer.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is a Carlo?
Carlo.
Mom's protege.
They're just a bunch of other actors that are in here that are all pretty good, but those are the main. That's the main cast.
I have to spit this out before I forget it.
Do it.
Carlo, there is a scene in this movie that just had me on the fucking floor, and it is the exit of Carlo from the estate by Dad. It all happens off screen. You hear the noise, and he has thrown Carlo out the freaking window.
I love that you bring that up, because that's all you hear is the shattering glass, the wood splintering. You don't even hear Carlos make a sound. You hear like a punch. You hear,
yeah, you know what's gone. He's left
and then
through the window.
Comes back in, like shaking his hand, rubbing his knuckles. Been a long time since I punched somebody like that or something like that.
Yeah.
That's one of two of the funniest scenes.
Well, I think he's asked, where's I think he was asked, where's Carlo? It's like, oh, he left through the window. You know?
Yeah. No. But the other really funny scene that happens off screen is the horse. What horse? The horse in the library. And the dad opens up the door.
Oh, yes.
He just shuts the door. He's like, why is there a horse in the library? They don't show the horse because that wouldn't be as funny. It's the reaction that he has when he just shuts the door and turns around and looks like, Why are my daughters killing me? They're trying to kill me.
This is a cool movie. This movie follows two spoiled rich socialites who, oh my God, you see it right off the bat at the beginning of this movie. They're on this scavenger hunt and they have to find a homeless man, a forgotten man. And they go down to the dump and that's where they find William Powell, Godfrey. I love how he treats the older sister because she comes down there throwing her money, trying to get him to come along and thinks $5 and he just shoves her ass right in a pile of ash.
What you have to understand, folks, is this is happening during the depths of the Depression in America. It's supposed to be, I guess, in the 20s. Maybe around the 30s, but I think it's supposed to be a little bit earlier. Yeah. And there were literally what was created now in certain cities was actually happened as a natural cause then with people living in tents. And the older sister, like you said, is on a scavenger hunt. The younger sister is trying to beat her to the scavenger hunt. And the fact that she is throwing her money around, she is acting like an asshole. Godfrey doesn't like that, and he's smart enough to know that she's an asshole.
Oh yeah,
like you said, he pushes her in the dirt, and then Carol Lombard is still standing there, and he turns around, he almost runs into her, if I remember correctly. He turns around, and she's like right there. He's like, "Now what are you doing?" And she starts backing up, and she's like, "Oh, I don't want to be thrown into a pile of ash." And she's like, "I guess I'll just leave." And she's such a ditzy, beautiful airhead in this. That as she's starting to try and just go away, he's like, well, she says something like, I've never won anything, but you know, I'm glad my sister's not going to win this one. And he's like, wait, you mean if you bring me to this, you know?
Yeah, he gets intrigued by what is going on here. What is this?
And she's like, yeah, you know, I can win this. And he's like, okay, let's go. And he goes with the younger sister. And that's one of my favorite scenes when he's there and they're like, oh, Godfrey, blah, 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 come on up. And then some asshole in the crowd of these multimillionaires cries out, speech! And Godfrey, oh my God, he just destroys every millionaire there. Like, I just wanted to see that this lovely young lady, you know, what a bunch of pompous, arrogant windbags do for a, you know, for the day. And everybody's just like, and the dad had left. Dad probably would have hired him on the spot, you know, if he'd heard that. But he leaves, you know, he finally just walks out and he bumps into the sister, I think, on the way out again, the older sister. And as he's leaving, Carol Lombard says, well, I want you to be my protege or something like that. Or I want you to.
She's got this weird idea of having him, because her mom, who's a drunk. She has got a, let's call it what it is. She's got a little boy toy. That she is.
But I don't think she actually does anything with him.
I don't know. He's just her protege because he's like going to be some famous musician and she's sponsoring him kind of thing. But. Yeah. Whatever. It's just really weird. You could tell right away. This is a great setup because all these characters are written so well. You know instantly that Carlo is a deadbeat and he is milking it for everything. I love him playing this horrible song. Like he's so heartfelt and And like his emotions are so, he's so tender. Oh, you'll upset Carlo or whatever. It's like, oh my God. He's playing it, man.
It's always the same bit of music that he's been playing all the whole time. And the father's finally getting tired of that shit.
Oh yeah.
I like, she brings him home. She makes him their butler. And he basically knows how to bottle. He meets the maid. The maid is like, well, I'll leave your hat and coat and your suitcase by the door.
You get the, like, everything. Yeah.
He's like, why? Why would you do that? I just got here. She's like, yeah, well, you're not going to last. And she hasn't even looked up at him yet. They're talking for like 3 minutes. Yeah. Before she finally looks up at him. And then she's like, check him out. Like, oh my. And she's like, okay, I'll go with you. This, you take the food here. You do this over here. And he, for the first person he goes in to see is the mom with the breakfast. And he fixes her a drink for her hangover. And she sees little fairies all over the beds. Oh, yeah. Some shit. And he gives her the hangover drink. And she's like, oh, the pixies are going away. This is great. And he just kind of shrugs and, like, takes a deep breath and walks out. He's like, okay, that's weird, but all right. He goes over to the older daughter's room first. And she's just yelling at him, get out of here, get out of here. Because I don't think she recognized him yet. I don't think the oldest daughter had recognized him. And she kicks him out. And then Carol Lombard's character, Irene, it's her turn. Yeah. He's got to take some food or something up to her. And that's when she wants him to sit down on the bed. And he's like, I don't think that's right. You know, that's a little too. She's like, oh, no. And the way she delivers her lines, she's such a sweet. She kind of reminded me of Luna Lovegood. Like if Luna Lovegood was a multi-billionaireess, but still had a good heart, she sees good and bad and that's it. But everybody's good anyway. So I don't care kind of thing. That's kind of the character that Carol Lombard reminded me of. And she's just thrown herself.
She's the exact opposite of her older sister. You can see the rivalry. It gets set up from the very beginning. Poor Irene is so naive. Is it Cornelia?
Cornelia.
The mom? Cornelia. Okay. Yeah. Cornelia. Was just vindictive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
she could not stand to see her sister get ahead. One of the things I like about this movie is there's some lessons here.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is one big lesson without being beat over the head.
It's really well done. You find out through the course of this movie where Godfrey came from, one of the wealthiest families out there.
Boston.
And he felt so bad that his people under him had lost so much money during the Depression that he went to kill himself. But he found salvation at the dump. And then he finds it again in this rich family. Yeah.
Yeah. The girlfriend that he had at the time, plus the family treated just like there's like a lot of stuff just piled on. And he went to New York to kill himself.
When his story comes out, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, you're like, shit. But he's sitting there and he's talking to everybody and he brings his buddy, the buddy who recognizes him at a party and almost gives up the ghost.
Oh, he's dude, that like, was, that was like, oh,
he
shit.
He almost gives it all away. And he's like, well, I used to work for Mr. So-and-so on, you know, he was kind enough to let me go and blah, blah, blah. So they're talking and he takes him to the dump. He takes his friend to the dump and says, I see potential here. And the guy's like, what do you mean? I don't get it. He goes, well, I'm going to ask you to do something you're not used to doing. I want you to think, you know, and his friend is like getting insulted. He just insults this guy all the time, but that's their friendship, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy doesn't even take it personally all that much. No. He just like, please stop insulting me kind of thing. But he explains his plan to his friend. And his friend is like, well, where are you going to find all these people? And he's like, well, they're all right here. All the people that we need are here. Mm-hmm. And he introduced him to an older guy in the dump. And he goes, do you know who that is? And the guy's like, no, just some bum. He goes, no, that's so-and-so from the Third National Bank. That went. And the
you,
guy goes,
you find out like, all those people down there were bankrupt. Like bankers.
He goes, yeah. He goes, but the reason he went bankrupt is because he gave all of his money to his to the depositors and to his people that worked for him. He goes, that guy lost everything so other people wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's what that guy was willing to do. And this guy's looking at him like, wow.
Yeah.
How did you know this? He goes, because unlike you, I listen when people talk or something like that.
Again, yeah, I know. That's the thing I love. The whole movie is that, man. The whole movie are these back and forths. And William Powell, as I learned in watching The Thin Man, is man, he can deliver some lines. He has a presence. I love William Powell. Now here's the thing. I'm watching this movie and I'm like, who is this wonderful actor? I feel like I've seen him before.
Yeah, he plays the same guy without playing the same guy.
Exactly.
It's the amazing thing. Like when you see him in like the Kennel Murder Case or one of the Thin Man movies, he's kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
But he's a different guy. I don't know how to put it. His the character seems very familiar, but it's not the exact same character. One of the things is Carol Lombard was his ex-wife.
At the really? Time. I did not know that.
He wanted to work with her because, as he told, I guess, the director or whatever, when he read the script, he said, you got to get Carol. And they're like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, we got to do this together. Because their relationship was very much like those two characters. Like that was their kind of relationship that they had. Damn. He goes, for whatever reason, I couldn't tell you why. I don't know why they ever divorced or whatever. But he said that's especially in the beginning, that was our relationship. So she's going to get this character. And evidently, must have been friends up until the day they died, you know, one or the other passed away. But I thought that was really interesting that you're still close enough to an ex-wife that you're like, no, you got to go get her because she's really good and she can play the part. And they were friends, obviously, to play it, for her to go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it worked. It worked. And you know what? That gives a layer that really adds to their screen presence.
That chemistry that they had is undeniable there.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely undeniable. There was something else. Maybe I'm making it up. Oh no, this is just something kind of silly. The background footage from the dump would actually be seen opposite. It's on the wrong side.
Oh.
of where they're supposed to be at looking. They should have been on the other side of the river looking back.
Oh, okay.
They should have been on the good side of the town.
That's an odd little bit of trivia. Or,
whatever. It's just one of those little things that as I scroll. But
what I really liked about this movie is the, you know, how it all wraps up, how the older sister's vindictiveness actually saves everybody. She didn't realize
it. And it does.
Yeah.
There's a scene, folks, where the family that he's been with, that he's been their butlering, the dad has lost everything, almost everything. He's like, we got the house and a couple of bucks.
They're bankrupt.
And
that's
about it. And he's just coming in. That's when he kicks Carlos out of the house, and he's just telling him, we got nothing. He goes, I don't know. You know, you guys have bankrupted me. You know, I've tried to do this. I tried to do that. If I don't wind up in prison, he goes, I'm hoping I go to prison just to get a break from you guys kind of thing.
That's, they show him throughout the movie constantly writing checks for his daughter's behavior.
trying to just make his company, you know, keep it solvent. And earlier on, Godfrey's talking to him when he's, you know, serving breakfast. He says, and, you know, is there anything that I can do to help? And the guy's like, no, Godfrey, I don't need your help. You know, he's not rude to him. He's just like, he's not a guy who asks anyone for help, and he won't accept it. So William Powell's character is like, okay, you know, just, you know, I used to dabble in the stock market. I'm good. And he leaves, and you don't really think too much about it until the dad has gone bankrupt, and he's just sitting there like, Christ, what am I going to do? I'm going to prison because I tried to, he didn't embezzle. There was something else.
Yeah.
But he would have been charged for embezzlement. He was just trying to keep the company going. And Godfrey walks out, and he's got this envelope. He's like, well, you know, here, I want you to have this. And the guy's reading it. And he's like, you know, you sold short or bought short or whatever. He's like, Godfrey was buying all the stocks this guy was dumping.
Yep.
And the guy's like, you were making money like while I was losing it. Yep. He goes, well, if you look on there, they've all been signed over to you. All the stocks has been, it's still your company. And the guy's like, the guy's practically in tears. This is a big, tough ex-Marine army guy, you know, used to be a boxer. He's just, he's a guy. And he's about ready to cry. He's like, what? Why? Why would you do this? He goes, because I've had hard times. I know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And then he goes around like to everybody in the family, like, well, you know, I learned patience from you. And I learned this from the mom. I learned this from the oldest daughter. Is like, well, you know, what did you learn from me? I'm just such a bad person. He's like, well, I learned from you what arrogance can do to a person and what, you know, basically being self-centered is. He goes, and he was still learning whenever he got there. So this was a nice scene with those two. And she's about ready to start crying. Right there, I think she was in love with him the whole damn time. And just
couldn't. Well, that's what's funny. He leaves awake. We have Irene. We have the sister. We have everybody loves Godfrey. The maid is just distraught.
The maid is. I love the scene where he leaves and the maid is crying, and then Carol Lombard's character comes in. And she's like, "Oh my God, he's gone!" And they're comforting each other. There's no animosity. That's my man.
No, it's
just comforting the other one because their boyfriend left.
It's sweet, you know. I liked this. I liked this. I know the writers of Trading Places looked back and started to get some inspiration of a fish out of water on Wall Street for this. So not the same story, but it gave me the vibe.
This is a movie that I've watched this movie a few times, and that's why I wanted you to see it, because I didn't think you had seen it before.
Nope.
The writers are Maury Riskind, Eric Hatch, and Zoe Atkins, who was uncredited, evidently. I just wanted to get their names out there because they are great writers.
Yeah, this is well done.
Directed by Gregory LaCava. But what I was going to say is this movie, every time I watch it, even from the very first time, I have this big dumb grin on my face. And I realized it the other day because I'm just sitting there watching it. I'm just smiling like through the whole movie, like, this is so great. And now I know what's going to come. I know the next step, and I'm waiting for it. And it never gets old. Like, I could probably go back and watch it right now, and I would just sit there and be like zoned in on it. It's well written, really well acted, of course. I mean, if you just look at the people that are in there and the cast, they're all phenomenal.
Well, let me add something to that. It's like you said, you can just put it on and you're there. A lot of times with older movies that I have no clue about or whatever, I'm thinking, okay, so I'm just going to break this up so I can do something else. And we got plenty of time to watch this. Right. I couldn't stop this one. So I just kept on going. Yeah. And so I love that. So I was like, okay, you got me. That was good.
It's looking great.
Good one. Good one. I definitely recommend it.
Yes. I recommend watching this movie, especially if you like old movies. But if you love Carol Lombard, she, to the best of my knowledge, she mostly did like fairly serious stuff. She did do a lot of comedies. I know that, but I know she did a lot of serious stuff. So when you watch her in a serious role and then you watch her in something like this, you're like, is that,
she's got range.
Person?
Yeah.
This is a completely different way of acting. And William Powell, I've seen him play a bad guy in some stuff, and he plays a really good bad guy. And he used to do a lot of bad guy roles back in the day before he started. He just...
Well, he's got that look. He can go either way with that. Yeah.
Yeah, he did one good role of, you know, a romantic comedy, and that was it. That was like, yep, you're not a villain anymore. And I was like, yeah, dude.
Well, after seeing him in The Thin Man with Myrna Loy and seeing how he can just have that banter with somebody, and here we come in with Carol, it's different, but their chemistry is good. And it's just like, it's everything fits. I don't doubt that they're together or could be, you know, it's well done. I like this movie. My only complaint would be, and this is just me nitpicking, and this has absolutely nothing to do with the movie, just the service it was on. I watched it on Tubi, and it was colorized. Right. And I'd much prefer to see it in black and white, because I get the reason for the colorization, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad colorized job, but I think it takes away from some of the cinematography, because we've changed some of the lighting now, and everybody's dressed and made up for black and white film and lighting and stuff. So some things just feel a little different, makes it feel weird. Well, that's really nitpicky.
This is the first time I ever watched it colorized. There is a way around that.
Yes, there's a way. I'd rather have it restored as, you know, nice crystal clear 4K. Black and white would be nice, but yeah. I know people that do that. Hey.
I did that with the Munsters, the movie The Munsters that we watched. It was so bright. And I think he purposely did all that because he was going to make it black and white.
Right. Because you have to set it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. When you turn the Munsters black and white, it looks right. It looks like that's how it's supposed to be.
And I think that's true.
Just let him do it. I couldn't.
That's Hollywood for you. That's Hollywood. I like the Munsters.
But this movie is, just watch it. It's funny. It's romantic. Comedy. It's everything that you want. It's everything that you want in a movie. You know, good guy, not necessarily a bad guy, but a good antagonist, you know, with the sister. It's great. Watch it. Watch it. Oh,
awesome.
Real quick. Those opening credits. What did you think about the opening credits?
I really like the opening credits. Thank you for saying that. I meant to mention that. It's, you see the city skyline, and written on the buildings in perspective are the names and the actors. So this is something you're going to see throughout the history of TV and movies of doing that. In fact, Money Back Guarantee that I did with Primo Brown, that's his credit style at the very beginning, is putting people on the sidewalk, on the building and stuff like that. So I love that style. It's really cool.
Yeah. I just loved how, and the lights on the paint, because this is basically a painting. It's a big matte painting, maybe two or three put together. You know, they had a little bit of depth in it, but it's all done really well. Lights are shining, and people's names are up on the billboards. I just think that is so cool. I think that we've lost that in this day and age. And
we've
lost a lot of
art in this day and age.
I'd like to see somebody bring that kind of thing back into credits. You know,
absolutely.
Credits and the closing credits.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned that, and I'm just going to throw this out here because I just started tonight. Since I'm an avid video gamer, there's a game in the Yakuza series that just came out called Infinite Wealth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. And I just started playing before the show. So I just got through the intro credits, and it's set up like a 70s sitcom with the happy music and the title cards and the names and little funny poses. And it's like, I'm going to have to send it to you because I thought it was bloody brilliant to see that.
That's
so it's like
fantastic.
Some people have artistic ideas.
That's good. It seems like video gamers have more artistic ideas.
The same bullshit happens on that spectrum as it does the movies, because actually games make more money than movies. So I'm surprised that there's, because they pump $200 to $300 million into a game. It's just, and they do the same recycling of shit over and over. So it's nice when somebody does something fresh, you know. So it's the same thing with any media. I'm sure it's that way with books as well. But you know, we talk about that. And yeah, while the 2020s, oh my God, the 20s that we're in now, is pretty boring with a lot of media, with a lot of movies, with a lot of TV, with a lot of music. Everything is so repetitive. It's great to go back almost 100 years to the well and see where it started to begin. And man, you see sparks of genius back here watching this stuff.
To get good storytelling. I don't think Hollywood, in my opinion, has told a good story in 30, 40 years.
There's some out there we just can't think of, but yeah.
Avengers was entertaining. All that Avengers stuff, entertaining.
I don't even get to start with me on comic book. They have their place.
Yeah, but
they have their place.
It's, I'm hard pressed. Like, I don't usually watch too much American television. Any new stuff? The newest thing I can think of right now was The Good Place.
The Good Place was phenomenal. But you look at it. What did The Good Place had very little special effects. I mean, it had some, but it was a very human story that drew us in, those different characters, all those different archetypes. And you see that in these older movies where focus is on the characters, focus is on the story, not on a message, not on an explosion, not on the latest CGI monster. Storytelling got lost somewhere in the way.
Storytelling. So, go back to storytelling. I think pretty soon we're going to see in this country, in the West, in the Western world. I think all of Hollywood is collapsing right now. I really do. I don't see Hollywood being the powerhouse that it once was.
Right.
But I do think you're going to see a lot of independent filmmakers and Hollywood becoming a distributor for them. You know what I mean?
Well, they kind of already do. Like, they have all these off, I forget what A24 is under. They grab some of the more indie things and stuff. So it's
it's going to get where it's easier. It's going to be big kidding.
Sorry.
It's going to be easier, I think, for somebody. It's still difficult, but I think it's going to be easier in comparison for somebody to do an independent film. Mm-hmm. And get it distributed. It'll be difficult to some extent, but you know, that's something you and I need to talk about, I think, off here a little bit, because we were talking at one point. But this is, it's interesting to see what can be done and what's going to happen. And I hope some of the people in Hollywood that went the way of the dodo or are on their way out, that are actually talented and aren't meeting the criteria or giving the message, I hope they start doing their own thing. I really do. I hope they start making little studio pieces.
Well, so many are. You look at Stephen Wynn or Jung. I may not be pronouncing his name right, and I apologize. From Walking Dead, he had trouble getting roles because who's going to hire an Asian? So he made his own studio. And I'm horrible with names right now. I'm trying to think who's the new Captain America. He just opened a studio for himself.
Couldn't tell you.
I cannot remember the actor's name. Avengers? And not Chris Evans, another... but the one who was the Falcon, but who's now Captain America, picked up the shield.
Oh,
American
Falcon.
You know who I'm talking about.
That movie's gonna be bad.
Yeah, probably. But he started his own studio, and I think that's great. Seeing these actors go do this stuff. They have to take that model because
he is a good actor. Mm-hmm. He is a good actor. I think this was a bad vehicle for him. That's just a personal opinion. So. I probably won't ever see the movie.
Anthony Mackie.
He should have just been the Falcon.
Yeah, I agree. But that's a whole nother thing. My Man Godfrey, folks, go check it out. William Powell, Carol Lombard. Good flick. It's fun. Watch it on Tubi. It's out there for free. So
turn down the color if you want to watch it in black and white.
Yeah, exactly. Hit the like, hit the share, and hit the subscribe. And thanks again to all our listeners, new and old, who still put up with our incessant rambling about nonsense. And we will catch you next week. If I can speak. Anyway, we'll catch you next week and see you then.
Have a good one.